we remain very far apart on a number of basic issues. That disagreement, the distance between us, is driven by the governor's extreme demands. His demands, if accepted by all of these mini unions, would drive down the take-home pay of public service workers in state government. It would result in a huge hike in state employees and university employees and retirees' costs for health care, doubling their premium in the first year alone and possibly going up from there. That would be the worst health insurance plan for state workers anywhere in the nation under the Rauner administration's demands. Pay, we would go from fair across-the-board raises to kind of a political pay scheme. Rauner likes to call it merit pay, but it really opens the door to political favoritism and cronyism, because his scheme allows for the administration to choose which workers might get a bonus, and only their favored workers, who were politically connected or politically favored, could get a bonus. There's also really harmful changes on privatization. Right now, the union contracts have rules of the road, protections against unfettered privatization boondoggles that could open the door to selling off state government. So on a lot of these things, there's big, big differences, and it's preventing us from getting to a fair contract. It's a similar dynamic to the state budget, in which the governor is making extreme demands and holding hostage the budget until legislators roll over to them.
Now, the administration has been able to reach agreement with some other unions, albeit smaller unions, trade unions, the Teamsters. The administration says that similar proposals, some of the ones you've talked about there, were agreed to by those unions. What makes AFSCME different?
Well, it's not just AFSCME, but it's also the IFT, it's the FOP, it's the laborers, and in all more than half a dozen unions, the nurses. None of us have reached agreements. There are some unions, mostly trades, represent a much smaller number of state workers that have reached agreements. And not only do they represent vastly fewer workers, maybe just about 5,000 who have agreements versus tens of thousands, well more than 60,000 when you look also at the home care and child care workers represented by SEIU. None of us have agreements. But also, the issues are very different. When you talk about the trade unions or the Teamsters, most of those unions operate their own health insurance plans. So their members have the option not to be in the state health plan, and they don't have to worry about negotiating that health plan as a result. AFSCME members and more than 360,000 Illinois residents, men, women, and children, who are in public service, whether for state government, state universities, or they're retired from state government or state universities, they get their health care through the state plan. And it's there that the governor is seeking these really unaffordable cost increases, just one of which is doubling premiums in the first year alone. If you don't have to worry about negotiating health insurance, that's very different. The same goes for wages. The trades are based on the prevailing wage. Their agreements with the state are based on the wage that is provided for their craft in their area, the prevailing rate. We have to negotiate wages, and that's what we're doing. So, again, I think anybody could see that if you didn't have to bargain over pay or health care, be pretty different kettle of fish to try to reach an agreement. So there's just no comparison.
Has there been any progress in the talks between the administration and AFSCME, though? Anything that maybe has moved off the table or been agreed to? Has been any progress whatsoever?
Well, there has been some progress. Certainly, we've been negotiating for all year long. We continue to meet regularly, but on these fundamental issues, we're very far apart, and it's gone on far too long.
How often are meetings between the union and the administration? How often are those taking place?
In our case, we're meeting more or less every 2 weeks, you know, maybe sometimes every 3 weeks, but usually every other week, and we meet for usually 3 days a week. And that's, you know, been going on a schedule like that now nearly all year.
There's no contract in place, but workers are still getting paid. Is there a limit, though, to how long the union might be willing to go along with that? Or have you targeted some specific date and says this is when we must have the contract by?
Well, the terms of the existing contract that had been scheduled to expire as of June 30th, those terms are still in place. They remain in place indefinitely under an agreement between the union and the administration. So those contract terms remain in place, and that is open-ended until we reach an agreement or unless the sides reach impasse. But, you know, we certainly hope, as we always have in the past, to be able to reach an agreement. But it shouldn't take this long, and this cloud of uncertainty shouldn't continue to hang over the heads of the men and women who serve our communities every day, people who protect our kids from abuse and neglect, who keep our communities safe by locking up criminals, by helping people when they've lost a job get their unemployment insurance, or struggling families with their medical care, caring for veterans or people with disabilities. So we should be supporting them.
There had been a push to maybe having some binding decision made by a third party, an independent third party there. It would need legislative approval. It got that, but then the governor vetoed it. They weren't able to override his veto. Will there be another push toward that? Is the union talking about that?
There is a mediator involved in our negotiations, and has been for some time, who's an independent third party that helps both the parties try to, you know, find some common ground. And we've been working together with that mediator for some time. Earlier this year, all of the unions supported going to independent binding arbitration, which is almost like a judicial process, and it's used all over the state and has been for decades for prison workers and for fire and police, emergency employees, to resolve their contracts. You know, we thought that that would have been a good way to remove the threat of chaos and disruption that could be caused by a lockout or a strike, at a time that it certainly looked like the governor was seeking that. When the arbitration bill was being considered, the governor vowed that he would continue to negotiate in good faith. We'd like to see a lot more progress, and it's time for that now. We don't want to strike. We've never been forced to strike in 40 years. We want to work and serve the people and the communities of Illinois. At the same time, we have a responsibility to be prepared if the governor tries to force some type of confrontation, but it wouldn't be in the public interest if he did.
A union's job really is to get the best deal it can and to protect its members. Governor Rauner, though, elected by the people, there might be some who would say he's trying to get the best deal for taxpayers. So what's wrong with that?
Well, I think when you look at any aspect of the governor's so-called turnaround agenda, in a sense, it's truth in advertising, because turning around is exactly what he wants to do to the fortunes of all working people in this state. Every aspect of it would either drive down the wages or weaken the rights of working people. He uses a lot of euphemisms, you know, let's reform workers' compensation. You know, in plain English, that means make it harder for somebody who gets hurt on the job to get their medical care paid for, or to recoup the wages that they might miss if they have to be out of work due to an injury. And then when it comes to collective bargaining and the rights of workers, he wants to make it more difficult for working people to come together on the job, to have a voice at work, and to bargain ultimately for a better life. And it's a special case when you're talking about public service workers. Public service workers use their voice at work and their union contract to better the lot of all of us in our communities, because they serve us all.
Of course, you're having this rally on Thursday night in Springfield, one of several that have been going on around the state this week. What is the purpose of those? What are you trying to get across?
So these rallies are really exciting and dynamic. economic events. I've been to a couple of them already. There's 7 happening across the state all week long. They started in Chicago on Saturday, and they're continuing through Thursday night in both Springfield and Metro East. At every one I've been to so far, there's been 1,000 or more people, and they're bringing together all unions and community groups who are hurt by the lack of a budget. We're hearing remarks from frontline workers about how not having a budget, not having a contract is hurting the people they serve. We're hearing from the Illinois NAACP, from faith groups, from human services providers, and we're coming together with all unions, not only AFSCME, but the teachers, the SEIU, the AFL-CIO, nearly a dozen unions coming together to support these, and really to say that all working people and our communities in Illinois have had more than enough of the conflict and confrontation, the division and the extreme demands of the Rauner administration. And it's time to move forward. We need a fair budget now, and we need fair union contracts for public service workers and state government.